Hey, Alan here.
And the Chris.
And just before the start of this week's episode, we would like to say thank you for listening and also to make you aware that if you enjoy this podcast, there are several other podcasts that we think you could enjoy. Firstly, starting with our own podcasts, I present the DCAU podcast with a friend of mine, Rebecca Hart, where we discuss the animated DC movies.
And if you love my dulcet tones, you can hear me on the Torn and Keel podcast, a weekly professional wrestling podcast. The Tom Buckle Arms, which is a monthly professional wrestling podcast. Or A Happening In, which is a crime slash ghost slash conspiracies slash weird stories podcast.
Also, if you enjoy a bit of robot combat podcasting and you want to hear some more, thoroughly recommend checking out the Botcast list, the link for which is in the episode description. Finally, before we start this episode, a reminder that Rise of the Robots is protected under a Creative Commons 4.0 International Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike International License. I'm Alan.
I'm the Grizz.
And welcome to Rise of the Robots. This week we're covering Techno Games 2001, Day 7. Three guesses who's doing intros for two different podcasts this weekend. Day 7.
Eventually. Got there eventually.
Got there eventually. So, yeah, it's... this is... Now, after yesterday, which was... I think there was 3 world records set?
Mm-hmm.
You then get on to today, and it's... Whatever happened today... You would normally expect this to be a disappointment in comparison. However, there are some really cracking events, starting with the artificial rope climb, which is, relatively speaking, a little bit of a disappointment.
Yes.
So you've got Rope Runner, which is your basic climber with a cartoon monkey.
That they just admitted they stole from the internet.
Yep, what's copyright? So, we also have Citizen Rope Speeder, which just visually is so impressive.
It's a big, giant, Kinect-built grandfather clock, or like Big Ben, more specifically. And they put a lot of build-up behind this thing.
And to be fair, I think the mechanical, on a mechanical side, this is a really radical design.
Like, because it's not based on motors or anything else like that. It's based on
elastic bands.
Elastic bands and just bunching it up the rope. But then we get to the actual race.
And Citizen Rope Speeder doesn't move.
And Rope Runner goes down.
Yeah, it goes down and then back up.
Yes. But because it went down, it lost itself a place in the final.
Yeah, because that time it took to bounce down and go back up again. Also, the only thing I can think of in terms of why it was where it was is because what ended up happening is they were going, well, you have to start higher up because it's not fair to have us start like a meter behind Citizen Rope Speeder.
Yeah, that is the rules. They explained that in the first season when Simeon had to be
at the head of Skeletron, because just so that they're starting essentially level. Not that it mattered on that exchange, but it may have mattered here, because basically the setup for this match was you have to be a sender's time of like just under 10 seconds, and had Rope Runner went the right direction, it probably would have beaten the sender's time of 9.7 seconds, because it was less than a second behind. Well, less than 2 seconds behind, because Rope Runner got 10.68 seconds, and so after that they say, well, it's going to be Ascender versus High Climber in the final. So Rope Runner going down by accident and then going up cost itself a place in the final.
Absolutely.
Then afterwards they explain what happened to Citizen Rope Climber.
And it's horrifying.
They wound the elastics too tight and it bent the construction material.
Absolutely.
It kind of ate itself.
That's a shame. Anyway,
I was genuinely looking forward to it.
And on to the... So we go on to a new event.
Yes.
Which is the long jump, which is back after last year.
Yeah, and the first people to take it, Team Rivet Rivet, who hold the crown for the long jump, with Fleabot from last year.
Yep.
And their opponent in the long jump, because they seem to almost be doing this as a versus, is Scorpion.
So Rivet Rivet, which is obviously it's the same robot that entered the high jump, and they've rebuilt it, which is incredible.
Yeah, after it exploded.
Scorpion is trying to make, and it's never worked so far, this idea of a robot that does a run up and then fires a mechanism that causes it to jump.
And let's face it, how far are you planning on getting with that?
I mean, it's not an absolutely awful idea.
It's not an absolutely great idea, though.
It doesn't work. And what ends up happening, it ends up doing, we'll just cover its two jumps first. It does the same, it does the opposite thing wrong both times. The first time, it fires it too late.
Mm-hmm.
The second time, it fires it too early.
Uh-huh.
And
the big, big main thing that they wanted to point out when they were introducing their robot was, oh, it's got a mousetrap on the bottom. No, it's
a
not a mousetrap.
Trap.
That trap, which means that it's bigger, more power. You need more power to kill a rat.
Yep.
And it's like, that's kind of worrying that you're, you have a rat trap, which would imply infestation.
Yeah. But on the other hand, we get, so its opponent, Rivet Rivet, it does pretty well. Doesn't beat the record.
Set by itself.
Though it does do wonderful rotating jumps. And they are very beautiful to watch.
So majestic through the air as it just kind of goes, la 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 la.
Corkscrew, corkscrew. Absolutely.
First attempt does all right. Second attempt does better. Does not break its own record, but then the kid actually says, oh, there's a bow and arrow robot that can beat us, so I'm going to be in the pit staring daggers at it.
I mean, fair play to them that they're actually like, no, also, I do think that he's on the, that he's on the spectrum because he can't look at the camera at all.
Yeah, he just kind of keeps looking away the whole time.
Which, I mean, fair enough, I don't blame him. I can understand that. I hate looking at the camera too. Whenever I do... spot the guy who's had to do a lot of webcam interviews in the last month.
Maybe he's an actor and he's told not to look at the camera.
Could be.
Hey guys, Chris here, and we're just going to take a short break to thank our contributors today. The logo was designed by Greg Watt, and the theme song, which you can hear right now, is TechnoX with their song Master Machine.
Here's an advert for a podcast we think you'll enjoy. I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And if you're listening to this, then we recommend that you check out our podcast, the DCAU Podcast, where we watch the original DC animated movies, starting from Batman Mask of the Phantasm and continuing on to Justice League Dark, Apocalypse War, and beyond. And we will cover such heroes as Batman,
Superman,
The Batman,
Wonder Woman,
Victorian Steampunk Batman,
The Flash,
Batman Beyond,
Green Lantern,
Old Man Batman,
Martian Manhunter,
and plenty more versions of Batman.
Lots and lots and lots of Batman.
You can find the DCAU Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else that you can get podcasts by looking up the DCAU Podcast and subscribe today. So, anyway, we then go to Japan, and we go to the Tokyo Motor Show, where we meet the same robots that we met yesterday, including the dancing robot. And Julia gets to control the dancing robot, which is quite nice.
Hold on, where is this in my notes? Is this the... I think this might be the one where... Let's see. Yeah, they bring up that big walking robot, and Julia gives this like running commentary, like she's gotta like she's trying to seduce it. It's like, oh, here he comes. Oh, I think he's spotting me. Oh,
I want to bang a robot.
Really?
I mean, to be fair, it would certainly never cheat on you.
Can you confirm that?
I don't know. I've never...
Don't make statements potentially not true.
How would I know? Actually, don't answer that. Anyway, moving very swiftly on. So...
Sorry, there's one part of my notes that I just noticed.
Okay.
After the long jump, they just had this weird cut to highlights of the combustion sprint.
I think that was a problem in the recording. Because I know what you mean. I think that's been a problem when the skip in the video... Because obviously it's been filmed on a videotape.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a recording issue, not an episode issue.
Right.
Because it was like just... Here's some highlights from later.
It's just that it had no overlay commentary either, which it normally tends to do.
Which, yeah, I think it's like, oh, and here's a sneak preview of what's coming up later.
Yeah.
And then you don't see that because reasons. As I said, it could be just problems with that.
Yeah, so as you said, Julia drives this big woman robot in the most kind of boring thing possible. Although I did find it really funny when she was working the fingers of the robot, and he goes, "It could be you." That really tickled me.
Yep. Now. Now we have an event that is absolutely not designed to be watched. It's a brilliant, I'm sure, again, much like a lot of the rocket powered events, I'm sure it's a blast, pun fully intended, to take part in, but it's not very televisual. The target land, spot landing, target landing rocketry, where they fire a rocket into the air and try and hit a target.
Yeah, which was, like, even watching it on TV, it was still much more interesting than the send a rocket in the air with an egg in it.
Yeah, but so,
I really get what you're saying with the whole, this would be awesome to watch live, and doesn't really work on TV very much. Just mainly because, like, this exact same thing I said earlier with the Hydra, of we're just taking the word of the TV, where, like, oh, Tomahawk went up and landed 14.75 meters away from the center. Titania went up and landed 4.50 meters away from it. MLV was 29.50 meters. And it's like, we're just taking your word for all of these.
Yeah, we have no context. We don't have, like, a wide view lens where we see where it is relative to the target, if it overshot, if it undershot, and yeah, it's just not that interesting to watch. As I said, I'm sure, see live, this would be awesome.
Yeah, like, plus, like, with this, it would all be a kind of, like, all-day event.
Yeah, absolutely.
Three with their legitimate distances. So the rules are, you've got a target, the ones closest to the center of the target will apparently advance, because I think we're getting another one of these in the next episode. So yeah. I read it, the which were Tomahawk, Titania, and MLV. We also have Shellshock, which went up and then came down with no parachute, planted itself into the ground 47.60 meters away. We had Blue that landed 27 meters away from the center of the target. Windy City was 33.50 meters away. Socorus, 28.05. Zatsumer apparently went to a different country because that was 74 meters away. And I thought that Shellshocked was going to be the worst one. And Heathcliff, the biggest looking rocket that had a giant stuffed bear attached to it was 36.05 meters away from the target. Then they bring up this grid, and then they just put all the names up and how close they were to the target and say, okay, well, all these guys are in and these ones have been eliminated.
Yeah.
Riveting.
So, anyway, we have two events to finish up, which is, first we have the shot put, and we have Beast of a Machine, which is a giant crossbow, and Long Shot, which is a trebuchet.
What'd you call me?
Trebuchet.
Yes, I know exactly what that means. Yeah, so We'll do the same thing we've kind of been doing, where we'll just talk about one robot and both its throws. So we get Beast of a Machine, fresh from its swimming antics. Yeah, it done nothing.
What seemed to happen, as far as I can tell, is it put the shot put in a cone, and what was happening is, as it was coming up, the cone was tipping up, and basically the shot put fell out both times.
I think the shot put was too heavy for the cone.
Yeah. Mm. Or because the shot put, basically because the cone was able to pull up, it didn't manage to keep its grip.
Like, I feel like the cone needed to be attached to the kind of slanty rail bit I don't know what you would call it exactly, but he needed to be attached to the actual robot as opposed to just being slack.
Yeah.
Because that was what the problem was. It just kept culling away from the shot butt itself.
Meanwhile...
Both of them were no throws, pretty much is what we're saying here.
Yep, absolutely. So, we then get a long shot. And it does the same kind of thing that other robots do, which is this sort of... It does a safe banker throw.
Mm-hmm.
Which... It does 9.1 meters, which is enough that it's just outside the medal table.
Oof.
And this is when it actually does work to build this up and have a live one.
Especially for this, because this was, like, I mean, some of the other ones we were looking at was just, oh, it's Crocosaurus doing a jump, and it's, you know, it's not going to be that impressive, and it's not going to mean anything in the grand scheme of things. This was for a potential medal, which made this one pull of this string to make this thing swing round and throw the shot putt. That built a lot to, you know, it built excitement. It's like, can it do it? Can it, like, muster all this energy and get itself a medal? And you know what? You're damn right it did, because they got the silver medal for 11.44 meters.
And it's brilliant.
Pipped to the post was Vesuvius by long shot. So your medals stand at Super Slinger with the gold. Long shot takes the silver, and Vesuvius with the bronze.
Which is fantastic, and it's well deserved for Super Slinger. Yeah. Only robot to get out of the arena in an event that's not Robot Wars.
Well deserved for all three, I will fully admit. Like, all three of them, like, all had relatively different kind of ways of coming at this thing, at this event.
Absolutely.
And they all proved their worth.
Absolutely.
But we move on to arguably one of the greatest things that's ever been seen in techno games or anywhere that involves robots in any form or fashion. The Combustion Sprint Final.
Oh boy, this is brilliant.
So before we get started, we go up and we talk to Tecumseh, or more specifically the team, and they've decided to ditch the spring legs, so they now have solid legs. This was one thing that they mentioned in the last heat, was this one kid is beating himself up about the fact that they couldn't get their world record back, and he kept blaming it on his driving. It's like, bro, it wasn't your fucking driving that was a problem. It was these dumb spring legs that you put on it. Yep. So they've got the solid legs, they're on, and... the kid that drove the last time is opting not to drive it this time. Just out of, you know, panic, I guess.
Fair enough.
Must be quite a lot of pressure. But then, teams stand by to compete. Power up. Da, 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 da. And then the two of them just start walking. Step by step. Neck. And neck.
Yes.
Every now and again, one of them pulls ahead of the other. And then all of a sudden, then at like another 2-3 seconds, the other is ahead. And so it's literally like wacky races in a way. And I didn't even mean that pun in all seriousness, but it is very wacky. The two of them just... back and forth, taking the lead. And then we get to about 15 meters, and Ulysses then just kind of starts coming over Tecumseh's lane. So Tecumseh comes into block, and Ulysses just kind of waits there, And because of the weird way that Tecumseh has turned, it's kind of knocked one of its middle legs out. So it starts flailing and just can't seem to move. It's ahead.
Breaks one of its legs. That's what you actually see it. One of the legs breaks.
Yeah, just dangling. So at 20 meters, Tecumseh is frantically trying to move forward and just cannot move. And then somehow, I don't understand how this happens, just because of the comment that's made afterwards, Ulysses kind of just turns slightly and just kind of goes off into the distance and wins the gold for the combustion sprint.
What a brilliant race, though. This was absolutely fantastic. It had drama. It had... Isle of the Robots could easily have won.
Yeah. And it was just the way that, like, the Ulysses kind of came over. So it was almost as if Ulysses was almost trying to start the fight first. And then Tecumseh's like, fucking watch it, bro.
And then when that happened, it was like, oh, didn't mean it.
Oh, my leg. Oh, God, my leg. Oh,
yeah.
Tecumseh. I mean, first...
You tried your best.
Came first last year, second this year. That still ain't bad.
Yep, absolutely.
And the combustion sprint is done for another year.
And, well, no one blew up, so that's always a win. So that is the end of day 7 of Techno Games. We are getting on to, that's us almost halfway through the last week.
Woohoo.
So, yep, we will be back in a week's time with day 8 of Rise of the Robots coverage of Techno Games 2001.
See you then.